I can still remember when I was a child that I would be outside. That was back in the days when kids would play outside. And we'd be out there all day, particularly on those hot, hot summer days. And, man, I can remember being out playing ball, just doing all kinds of things, and would get just so thirsty that it almost seemed like you couldn't swallow. I mean, your throat was dried out. And I can still remember, yes, I was one of those that survived the garden hose days, but you'd go up and get you a drink out of the garden hose, and man, that just tasted so good. And it just seemed like you were like a camel trying to fuel back up. You'd just drink water and drink water and drink water, and it was so refreshing. And so today I want you to think about a time when maybe you have been that way, when you have just been just parched. You have been so thirsty, and the feeling that you got when you finally had that opportunity to get a cool drink of water. Well, today we're going to be looking at some passages that come out of Psalm chapter 42, and the psalmist links that physical and spiritual thirst together. Grab your Bible, come on back as we take a look in God's Word at thirsting for God. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is going well with you, and we want to thank you today for joining us for our Bible study. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Psalm chapter 42. I still remember growing up, a little trick that they would tell us is that if you've got your whole Bible there, just go right about to the middle and open it up, and that's where Psalm is going to be. So if you have a little trouble finding that, that's a good, quick, easy tip for you. But today we're going to look at thirsting for God out of Psalm chapter 42. Now, the psalm we're going to look at today is that psalm that meets us where we are. You know, we all know the urgency of thirst. You've been thirsty. It's been a long, hot day. And you know what it's like just to desire a cool, cool drink of water. And, you know, we can, when you think about it, we can live a whole lot longer without food than we can without water. I mean, there's times that you can go days or weeks without food, but you're not going to go very long without water. That's what it takes to make your body actually function. And we all know the satisfaction of a drink of cold water when we're really, really thirsty. So let's take a look at this psalm today. And I'm gonna take you to a couple of different places that are going to prove this point that's being made in the book of Psalm chapter 42. We're just going to look at the first two verses of Psalm chapter 42. It reads like this: "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to just tread through trying to learn on our own, but Lord, you give us the Holy Spirit that's our teacher. Today, Lord, I pray that as we find ourselves thirsty, that we would be going to the right and the proper place to quench that thirst. Lord, not just to quench it in a temporary way, but Lord, to quench that thirst in a forever way. Lord, thank you for Jesus and what was accomplished on Calvary's cross. So, Father, for these next few moments, as we take this time to be able to spend together around your word, I pray that, Lord, we will truly be able to lift you up, that you might draw all men unto you, and that we might be drawn closer today because we've taken this time to be around your word. Use me as your messenger for these moments, Father, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so again, when we look at that, you know, I mentioned a moment ago that this is a psalm where the psalmist actually is linking the physical thirst, and we all know that. We've had those hot, long, thirsty days, and we know that desire, but there's also a spiritual thirst. You know, when your soul is desiring something, when your soul is seeking something, and most of us probably have had some opportunities in our lives where we have done just that, but we have found ourselves continuing to be thirsty when we couldn't find something to fulfill or to quench that thirst. Yeah, this thirsty one in the psalm today concludes that only God can quench his thirsty soul. Now, I like what C.H. Spurgeon quoted in regard to this particular passage. It says, "Give David his God, and he is as content as a thirsty deer, which finally, after a long search, quenches his thirst and is perfectly happy." I grew up, of course, in the mountains of West Virginia, and I remember at times you'll see the deer, and they'll make their way down to the river on those same long, hot, thirsty days. And for them just to get that drink of water and just to quench that thirst, it's just so satisfying. It's even satisfying to watch. But here are some thoughts today as we ponder this scripture. Here are some thoughts today about thirsty people. Okay, I want to just remind you of a passage that you've probably read as well as many that comes in John chapter 4, Gospel of John chapter 4, where it's a thirsty woman who was at a well. And Jesus met a woman of Samaria at the well. Now, you have to remember that the Jews and the Samaritans just did not get along with each other. It was one of those situations where it is proposed that she actually went to the well at the time that she did because nobody else was going to be there. She went in that off time where people would go to draw water. And it's believed because of who she was, because she was a Samaritan, and also because of her reputation that she didn't want to be around where there was a whole lot of people around. And maybe you in your life have felt that intentional separation before, where you're like, man, I don't want to go down there because I know how people are going to look at me, or how people are going to talk about me, or people are going to say things about me, or whatever it may be. All of us have been in that situation to some degree along the way in our lives. And the thing about it was, Jesus approached her. Jesus had a chance to talk to her, and she had a story to tell. You see, life hadn't treated her well. You know, most of the people that I talk to today will sit back and say, you know, life hasn't treated me very well. There have been things along the way. There have been bumps in the road. It just seems like you can't win for losing. And maybe that's you. As you're watching today, maybe that's how you feel about your life. And life just hasn't treated you well. And this lady, her inner thirst. Now, I want you to get this. Her inner thirst was revealed in her failed marriages. Now, if you remember what was taking place along the way, Jesus was talking to her and they had this spiritual breakthrough, but this lady, what had happened was, Jesus said to her, well, that's great. I'm glad everything worked out. Why don't you go and tell your husband? And her response was elusive. She said, well, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you have rightly spoken. You don't have a husband. You have had five, and the one that you're with now, you're not married to. He is not even your husband. So Jesus didn't allow her just to kind of just glaze over things, to glaze over the sin, but he let her know that he knew exactly where she was. And you see, what was her problem? What was her issue? She had been trying to quench that inner thirst by looking for a man to be able to bring her satisfaction. It's interesting that as you go through life, and I've seen this many, many times, particularly when it comes down to women, there are some women who just don't feel like they can do life without a man. That they always have to have some man in their life. And I've seen this starting even from middle school ages and coming on, right on up. They feel like they just have to have that guy right by their side. This lady had been looking for something to fill that inner void, but also to quench that inner thirst that she had been having, and she kept on trying. She thought it was going to be in finding, a man or finding the right man, and yet it never, ever quenched her thirst. She had been married five times and now was living with one that was not her husband, and Jesus knew all about her, and Jesus knew all about her thirst. Now, I want you to know the good news today. The good news today is that those things that you might be trying to hide from Jesus, he already knows about those. He already knows about how your inner soul is thirsting for something, and he is there. He is the one who can, and he is the one who is prepared to quench that thirst of your soul. Jesus knew all about this woman's thirst that we're talking about that he had met at the well. He knows all about your fruitless search for happiness and peace of mind. And he knows about all the books that you've read that are supposed to be self-help books and designed to help you live your best life now, however you want to say it, whatever it may be. All those things will fail you. The Lord offers the living water to quench your inner thirst, and it ends your search immediately. I love what he had said before. He said, when you partake of the water of life, the living water, Jesus said, I provide you the living water. And once you partake of this, you will thirst no more. So listen, if you're out there and you're thirsty today, I want you to understand that only the Lord can provide the living water, which will bring you to, first of all, salvation by grace through faith in him. But it is the only thing that will quench your thirst. So we've been talking about the woman at the well, and as often as it's been referred to in the Bible, but there was also yet another example of this that we see that comes out of another one of the Gospels. It comes out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and particularly verses 19 through 24. Once again, this is going to be a familiar story that most of you, if you've been around church at any point in your life, have probably heard this story. But this was about a thirsty man who was in hell. And this goes back to the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember that one, don't you? Yeah. But here it was a man who tried to quench his thirst with his wealth. Now, when we to give you a little bit of background on that particular story, it kind of draws the parallel between the rich man and Lazarus. And it says that the rich man had all the things that he wanted in life, and it said that he fared sumptuously every day. And he said, but then there was this beggar named Lazarus who was laid right outside the gates, and every day Lazarus would beg, you know, just to be able to have, you know, food to eat for the day. And the rich man saw this as he went, you know, back and forth to his home, as he went out into the community. But he was very aware of the fact that Lazarus was out there. But the story goes on to tell us this. It says, and both of these men died. And then the following verse says this. It says, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, and he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And this was his request. He said, would you send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my parched tongue, for I am tormented in this place called hell. Now, I've often thought about what that was like. I mean, I've been parched before, but I'll tell you one thing. When I was, it wasn't a situation where I felt like just somebody dipping the tip of their finger in water and touching my tongue with it was going to be something that was going to help out. I was like, give me a glass of water and turn me loose. I'm getting ready to down this thing. But that is how bad the suffering and the torment in hell was. Now, I also want to add this, that if you've been around Central Baptist and you've heard me preach about in this passage, there's something that I find very telling in this particular story. You'll notice that if you're looking in your Bible and it has those subheaders, it probably says the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, okay, or the story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's kind of ironic. And if you ever ask yourself the question, well, why was it that he calls the rich man, and why is it that he calls Lazarus by name? This is one of the things that I believe. I don't believe this to be a parable, a story just to tell or to prove a point. I believe this to be an actual event. And the reason why is because in parables that you read in the Bible, the things Jesus used to prove a point or to teach a lesson, he never really uses proper names. He would say something like, well, for the kingdom of heaven was like a rich man traveling into a far country, but he never used proper names. But yet in this one, he actually uses a proper name. He calls Lazarus by his name, but yet he still calls the rich man the rich man. And at one point in my life, I thought, well, I wonder why he doesn't just call him like Carl or Harry or Bert or whatever his name might have been, you know, Bert and Lazarus. Or what? Why does he call him the rich man? And then it dawned on me, because the scripture tells us that the Lord knows his sheep and he calls them by name. You know, even in the midst of this story, the Lord knew who Lazarus was. He was one of his children, but he did not know who the rich man was, because the rich man had not surrendered his life to him. Okay, but here's a man. The rich man who had tried to quench his thirst with wealth. That was his big thing. He had surrounded himself with wealth financially. He was doing very well. He was living lavishly every day. He was so completely opposite of the poor, sickly beggar that was at his gate, the one that is called Lazarus. There were completely polar opposites on the socioeconomic scale, and yet, you know, the rich man was content to just go right on past him. Then something went wrong for the rich man, okay? What was it that went wrong for him? The rich man lost his health. Now, I don't know whether it was a gradual decline. I mean, the scripture doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us whether it was immediate that he died, or whether it was one of those things that stretched out for a long time. But the bottom line was, the thing that went wrong for him was he lost his health. You know, when the rich man died, when the rich man died, his thirst lived on. Why? Because it was not quenched. Remember, we were talking about the difference between the physical thirst and a spiritual thirst. So when this rich man died, the thirst that he had, the unquenchable thirst that was unquenchable with riches and lifestyles and those sort of things, it continued to live on. It's ironic that when we read in that passage, it says that was the first thing that he said when he saw Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. And he said, would you send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my parched tongue? So the thirst continued on for the rich man. This may be, you know, one of the severest torments that we read about in hell. Because can you imagine what that would have to be like to live with that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for all of eternity? That's hard for us to wrap our minds around. And it's really hard for us to fathom even what that would be like. Okay, and I believe that's going to be one of the severest torments in hell, is that this unquenchable thirst. And he begged the old beggar Lazarus to bring just a drop of water for his tortured tongue. Just a drop of water. Now, like I said a minute ago, when I'm thirsty, a drop of water is not going to even begin to touch what I need. And you've seen it before. I can still remember being at practice, like football practice, and we'd have a water break. And man, it seemed like the hogs were all in front of me. It was like, man, come on, don't try to drink the well dry, as the old boy says. Save some for some of us. But they would just sit there and try to completely rehydrate and replenish, weren't worried about anybody else that was behind them, because they were trying to quench the parchment that was the dry throat that they had, okay? Now, Jesus endured the thirst of hell on Calvary's cross. It's really interesting. Have you ever thought about it that when you look at the story of the crucifixion as Jesus hung on the cross, you know one of the things that he said? He said, I thirst. You know, he cried before he died. That's what he cried out. He said, I thirst. Christ died that we might never, ever again have to thirst. He bore our hell on Calvary so that we could go to heaven and not have to worry about that. Okay? Now, the interesting part is that there's an invitation that God wants for each and every one of us. He provides for each and every one of us. And that can be found over in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And this is what he said. It says, let him that athirst come. Did you get that? Let me repeat it to you. It's Revelation 22, 17. Let him that is athirst come. Thirsty ones are invited to take of the water of life. And I love the part that Jesus says is you can partake of the water of life freely. And when you do, you will never thirst again. The living water is free for the taking by faith. Now, is it you've heard it stated before. How are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift. I just picture the Lord sitting back saying, I have this gift for you. All you have to do is take it. Now, I know if I were to come up to you today and say, hey, look, I got a little something for you, and I handed it out there to you, you probably wouldn't just sit there and stare at it. You would probably say, well, thank you so much, and you would take it, and you would open it, and you would see what it is, and you would access it. And that the free gift of salvation is the one that the Lord provides to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, here it is. It's here for the taking. All you have to do is take it. I cannot believe how many people in this day and age, but also over the years past, who have just rejected the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. I don't understand why anybody would want to do that. You see, at the cross, blood and water flowed from Jesus' side. See, blood announced the forgiveness of sin, because we've learned even back in the days of the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And water announced the fountain for thirsty souls. It can be yours, it can be mine, all for simply asking and saying, Lord, I give my soul to you. I realize I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save my soul. And you will never thirst again. So today the big question is simply this. Are you thirsty? Now, I don't mean physically thirsty. You know, you can quench that. If you're physically thirsty, you can go to the kitchen and get you a drink of water, or go get you a Mountain Dew out of the refrigerator, or a glass of iced tea, whatever it may be. But are you spiritually thirsty? Is there something there that's missing? Is there this void that you have tried in your lifetime to fill with so many different things? Is your soul thirsty today? Listen, if it is, come in faith to the one who offers the living water that will last forever, and that is our Savior, Jesus Christ. Come and never, ever thirst again. If you're thirsty today, I pray that these words have spoken to you from God's Word, because you don't have to. He provides for you the living water, the water that quenches your thirst now and forevermore. Have you trusted Him? Will you trust Him? I pray that today you can answer both of those questions emphatically yes. If not, then cry out to Him right now. You can just simply say, Lord, I do realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross through His death, burial, and resurrection. And Lord, today I give my soul to You. And Father, help me to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. And I will promise you that if you did that and you meant it with all your heart, that He's recording your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are one of His children. He has provided for you everything that you need to never thirst spiritually ever again. You have the fountain of life, the river of waters that He provides to quench that thirst forevermore. Are you partaking of that? Those of us who have know exactly what it means to not be thirsty spiritually ever again. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be times that you're going to have some rough patches in your walk with the Lord. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be some times when you're going to have maybe some doubts, that you're going to walk through some valleys in your lifetime. That's not what that means. But what it does mean is that God will give you strength for the journey, and that you won't feel the parched sense of unfulfillment within your life, because the Lord has filled that void when you trusted Him. So I pray today that is your prayer. I pray that today that is something that you can do, and that if you're thirsty, that you would truly reach out to the one who provides the water of life freely for you. He provides the water of life that will quench your soul eternally. Have you done that? Listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be reading for next week, and then we're going to have a prayer. We're going to ask the good Lord to help us as we partake in His living water. But this week, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Psalm 49. Once again, that is Psalm 49. That'll be your reading for this week. Next week, we will discuss breaking the grip of the grave from Psalm 49, verses 6 through 20. Once again, that is breaking the grip of the grave, Psalm 49, verses 6 through 20. So I hope that you will join us again next week. Let me have a word of prayer with you as we wrap up our Bible study, and as we head into what's left of this week, and as we head into the weekend. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You now, we're again grateful and thankful for all that You do for us. Lord, I'm thankful for the living water. Lord, I'm thankful that when there is that inner spiritual thirst, that You quench it, because You have the endless supply of the water of life that freely given to us, that we might partake in, that we might have the freedom that only You can provide. Lord, I pray that our parched souls will be relieved by the living water of Your Savior. Father, today I pray that You will help us as we go into the rest of this work week. We have divine appointments. There are people that You will send in our lives that need to hear our story. We pray that You will give us the grace and the strength to be able to share that story, and Lord, to be able to be instruments in Your hand to be able to reach those that are around us. So Father, give us a great rest of this week. Help us, Father, to look for ways to be able to serve You, and then have enough courage to engage those ways, as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, I want to thank you again for taking this time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, if there's anything that we can do to help you spiritually, be sure to contact us. Our website is listed during this broadcast, but it's www.oakridgecbc.org, and then you can see the email listing. You can see what we have to offer as far as the church. But as always, we want you to know that we're here for you, and we thank you for joining us for this time, and we pray that God's going to bless you in a great, great way, simply because you have. We also like to invite you that if you happen to be in our area, the area of Oak Ridge, North Carolina, this coming Sunday, we would just love to have you come and join us for a worship service. Be sure when you come through the doors to introduce yourself and come up and catch me and say, hey, look, man, I saw you on the Wednesday Bible study and I wanted to come by in person and just have an opportunity to meet you. And we would look so forward to being able to not only meet you, but worship together in spirit and in truth. Our service starts at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. We also have other discipleship opportunities throughout the week. We have Sunday school. We've got some discipleship small groups. We have adult Bible studies during the school year. We have Awana on Sunday night for children. We would love to have you stop by. So I pray that God's going to give you a great rest of the week, and I would look forward to seeing you on Sunday morning at Central Baptist Church. God bless. Have a great week.